Hi, I'm Daniel Wickes, and welcome to Geography 101. And join me for another exciting and amazing episode. And today we are traveling to a land of dramatic contrast, ancient civilizations, and breathtaking natural diversity. We're exploring Mexico, officially the United Mexican States, a country that straddles a boundary between North America and cultural region we call Latin America. This is a nation where volcanic peaks pierce the sky, desert stretches up to the horizon, and rainforests teem with life, all within territory of nearly 2 million square kilometers. Mexico is the third largest country in Latin America after Brazil and Argentina, and 13th largest country in the world by land area. It's home of over 130 million people, making the most populous Spanish-speaking nation on earth. But Mexico geography is far for more than just statistics. It's a story of tectonic forces, climatic variety, and human adaptation across millennia. From the border of the United States in the north to the jungles of Chiapas to the south, Mexico offers geographical tapestry unlike anywhere else on the planet. Today we're going journey across this remarkable country, exploring its physical landscapes, its climatic zones, its rivers, the coastlines, and the ways its people have shaped and been shaped by their environment. While climbing the highest peaks, dive into the deepest waters, the traverse its most arid desert, and the end. And of course, I hope you understand why Mexico is not just a country, but a geographical wonder. So pack your bags, grab your compass, and meet the border. We're heading to Mexico. Let's start by getting our bearings. Mexico is located in the southern portion of North America, lying between the latitude of 23 degrees north and latitude of 102 degrees west. To the north, it shares a massive border with the United States, specifically with California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, stretching approximately 300,150 kilometers from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. This border is partly defined by the meandering Rio Bravo, known in the United States as Rio Grande, which is winds from Ciudad Juarez eastward to the Gulf. To the south, the south is Mexico borders Guatemala and Belize, with 871 kilometers of frontier with Guatemala and 251 kilometers with Belize. To the west, south lies the vast Pacific Ocean, while the east bounded by the Gulf of Mexico and Caribbean Sea. All told, Mexico boasts an impressive 9,330 kilometers of coastline, and with about two-thirds facing Pacific and the Gulf of California, and the remainder along the Gulf of Mexico and Caribbean. Mexico also controls numerous islands and archipelagos, including the Tres Marias in the Pacific, Cozumel in the Yucatan Peninsula, and the more remote Isla Guadalupe and Isla Revillagigedo. Its exclusive economic zone, the waters over which it has special rights, covers an enormous 3.27 million square kilometers, making the 13th largest in the world. This strategic position, bridging North and Central America and touching two great oceans, has shaped Mexico's history, climate, and culture of millennia. To understand Mexico's traumatic landscape, we have to look underground. Why underground? Mexico sits atop some of the most tectonically active real estate on Earth, forming a part of circumpacific ring of fire. The country straddles three massive tectonic plates, the North American plate, and the Pacific plate, and the Caucasus plate, which interactions have built Mexico mountains and continue to shake its foundations. The subduction of the Caucasus plate beneath the North American plate along Mexico's southern coast creates a deep Middle America trench and accounts for the frequent earthquakes that rattle the region. As the ocean floor is forced downward, it melts, and molten material or material rises through weakness in the surface rock, creating volcanoes that dominate central Mexico. This same process has built the Cordillera Novolocanica, a volcanic belt that stretches 900 kilometers across the country from the Pacific to the Gulf of Mexico. The volcanic axis contains Mexico's highest peaks, including Pico de Orizaba, also called Gila de Pep, which rises to 5,362 meters, making it the third highest mountain in the North America. Nearby the active volcano, Popocatépetl towers at 5,465 meters, constantly reminding residents of Mexico City that they live in the shadow of a living geology. Mexico's seismic history includes devastating earthquakes such as the 1985 quake that killed thousands of Mexico despite of its epicenter being over the 300 kilometers away off the coast of Acapulco. In the northwest, different tectonic processes is at work. Here, the Pacific and North American plates grind past each other along slip fault that extends San Andreas fault system into Mexico. This motion over millions of years pulled in Baja California Peninsula away from the mainland, creating the Gulf of Mexico, ensuring that means Mexico remains seismically active to this day. Mexico backbone is formed by two great mountains, ranges that run roughly to the south, like spines protecting a central core. The Sierra Madre Occidental hugs the western side of the country, beginning about 50 kilometers from the U.S. border and extending 1,250 kilometers southward, and largely volcanic range of average 2,250 meters in elevation, and has been deeply carved by westward flowing streams, creating spectacular gorge-like Cooper Canyon in Chihuahua State. On the eastern side, the Sierra Madre Oriental runs parallel, starting near the Texas border, continuing 1,350 kilometers until merging with the volcanic axis. These found mountains form of shales and limestones are often considered an extension of the Rocky Mountains, and they become progressively closer to the Gulf Coast as they travel south. Between these two massive ranges lies the Mexican Plateau, the largest and most densely populated region of the country. The plateau is divided into sections, the North Mesa del Norte and the South Mesa Central. The Mesa del Norte averaged about 1,100 meters in elevations and covered the vast stretches in Chihuahua, Coahuila, and Durango, much of the covered by the Chihuahuan Desert. The Mesa Central is higher, averaging 200 meters or 2,000 meters, and contains the fertile valleys where most Mexicans live, including the Valley of Mexico, where Mexico City now stands. Farther south, additional mountain ranges and add to the complexity. The Sierra Madre del Sur runs along the southern coast for 1,200 kilometers, while the Sierra Madre de Oaxaca and Sierra Madre Chiapas dominate southern landscape. The Chiapas Highlands and the extension of a Central American maintain or mountain ranges create a dramatic drop for the country's southernmost states. Flanking these mountains are extensive lowland regions that could not be more different from the plateau. The northwest of Baja California Peninsula extend like slender finger nearly 80 miles and or 800 miles south from the U.S. border as an isolated strip of arid land rarely more than 100 miles wide. These peninsula divided into states of Baja California and Baja California Sur features the organic core with peaks over 900,000 feet, dropping steeply to the Gulf of California on eastern side. Along the Pacific side of mainland Mexico, the Pacific coastal lowland stretch from the Colorado River Delta near Mexicali southward for about 1,450 kilometers to Tepic. These lowlands traversing the states of Sonora, Sinaloa, and Nayarit consist of the coastal traces and river deltas that have been transformed into highly productive farmland through irrigation. Despite their agricultural wealth, these lowlands are bounded on the east by the steep escarpment of Sierra Madre Occidental. On the eastern side of the country, the Gulf of Coastal Plain extends approximately 1,450 kilometers along the Gulf of Mexico from Tamaulipas through Veracruz and Tabasco of the Yucatan Peninsula. This plain is narrow and irregular in the south of borders dramatically at the northern end of the Isthmus and the Tehuantepec. The Isthmus itself is the narrowest point in Mexico, barely 135 miles wide, and had been considered a potential site of the Interoceanic Canal. Finally, the Yucatan Peninsula, just northeastward, separating the Gulf of Mexico from the Caribbean Sea. This flat limestone platform is remarkably different from the rest of Mexico. It's not surface rivers as water percolates through precarious rock into underground caves and cenotes. In 2024, oceanographers discovered the world's deepest blue hole in Chetumal Bay, named Taong Jaw, meaning deep waters in Mayan, whose actual depth remains unknown due to technical limitations. Mexico has had nearly 150 rivers, but river disruption across the country is widely uneven. Two-thirds of these rivers empty into the Pacific Ocean, while the remainder flow in the Gulf of Mexico or the Caribbean Sea. Despite of this abundance on paper, water volume is concentrated. It's not just few river systems, creating a serious challenge for a country with a growing population and agricultural demands. Five rivers dominate Mexico hydrology: the Usumacinta, Grijalva, Papalopan, Cotzaneszokolcos, and the Panuco. These five alone account for 50% Mexico average annual surface water, and all about the Panuco are located in the southeast. The southeastern region contains only about 15% national territory and 12% of the population, yet holds the vast majority of the country's water resources. In stark contrast, northern and central Mexico, with 47% of the land area of nearly 60% of the population, have access not less than 10% in the country's water. This balance has driven major water infrastructure projects, including dams and aqueducts, and has made water management one of Mexico's most pressing geographical challenges. The Rio Grande, known in Mexico as the Rio Bravo, is the country's longest river to over 3,000 kilometers, but much of its flow allocated under treaties in the United States. Mexico's largest cultural lake is Lake Chapala, covering about 1,100 square kilometers in Jalisco State. Other important lakes include Lake Quetzal and Lake Pizarro and Michoacán. Too many of the valley lakes that once dotted the Mesa Central have been drained over centuries to create farmland and urban land. The draining of the lake systems around Mexico City, for example, has left metropolis built unstable lake bed soils that continue to sink and shift. Given the traditional and latitudinal span and extreme topographic variation, Mexico boasts as an astounding range of climate. The country can divide it into several major climate zones: tropical, desert, temperate, and everything in between. About 28% of the country is classified as dry, nearly 21% as very dry, 23% warm subhumid, and roughly 20% is the temperate subhumid. The northwest is dominated by Sonoran Desert, which extends into the Baja California Peninsula, while the Sichuan Desert covers vast areas of the northern plateau. These arid regions experience extreme temperature variation between day and night, and received minimal rainfall. In contrast, coastal lowlands and the southern states of Tabasco, Chiapas, and the Yucatan Peninsula receive abundant rainfall with the distinct wet season from May to October that concentrate 3/4 of the country's annual perception. The high plateau enjoys what many consider an ideal climate. Temperature round, with average temperature between 10 to 26 degrees Celsius. Mexico City at 2,140 meters elevation experiences mild temperatures throughout the year. Through its high altitudes and mountain surroundings, can create temperature inversion that trap pollution. The volcanic peaks, of course, have their own alpine climates with a permanent snow on the highest summits, despite of their locations on tropics. The climatic diversity makes Mexico one of the world's 17 megadiverse countries, ranking 5th global in natural biodiversity. The country is home to between 10 to 12% of the world's known species, including vast numbers of endemic plants and animals found nowhere else on Earth. From the desert cacti to rainforest orchids, from desert bighorn sheep to jungle jaguars, Mexico geography has created countless niches for life to flourish. While this physical geography has profoundly shaped where Mexicans live, and how they live. More than half of the population cluster in the central plateau, particularly in the valleys of the Mesa Central, while the arid north and tropical south remains sparsely settled. Nearly 4/5 of Mexicans now live in urban areas, with the Mexican City ranking among the world's most populous metropolitan areas at over 22 million people, including the suburbs. These urban concentrations create enormous challenge, from air pollution and water scarcity to ground subsidence of seismic risks. Yet Mexicans have adopted their dynamic environment for millennia. From the Aztecs, who built their capital Tenochtitlan on the island of the mountain lake, to the modern engineers who brace skyscrapers against earthquakes. The country's 32 states, from Baja California to Yucatan, each possess distinct geographical identities that shape their economies, cultures, and politics. Mexico geography has also blessed with immense natural resources. It's a leading producer of silver and significant deposits of oil, copper, gold, lead, and zinc that are the landscape. Its coastline supports major fishing industries in the world famous tourist destinations like Cancun, Cabo San Lucas, and Puerto Vallarta. And this is mountains, deserts, forests, and reefs draw millions of visitors annually, making Mexico the 6th most visited country in the world. So as we conclude our journey through Mexico's geography, I hope you can see the country's new eyes. It's just a place on a map. It's a living, breathing landscape forged by tectonic fire, shaped by wind and water, and transformed by human hands. From the highest volcano to the deepest blue hole, from the driest desert to the luscious rainforest, Mexico contains multitudes, and its geography, in all complexity, continues to tell the story of a nation forever in motion. And that brings us to the end of our geographical journey through Mexico. We have crossed mountain ranges and deserts, floated down rivers and coastline, and climbed volcanic peaks and touched the sky. We've seen how tectonic forces continue to shape the land, how water divides the countries between abundance and scarcity, and how climate creates countless niches for life. And we glimpse how all this physical geography has guided human settlement. From ancient civilizations to modern megacities, Mexico reminds us that geography has never just about rocks and rivers. It's about relationship between people and place. The same volcanoes that threaten eruption provide fertile soil for farming. The same seismic activity that brings earthquakes also created a mineral wealth that built an economy. The same desert that the same barren hold unique ecosystem found nowhere else. Mexico geography is study in contrast, and those contrasts lies its beauty and its challenge. If you're never lucky enough to visit Mexico, I hope you bring this geographical lens with you. Look beyond the beaches and resorts and see the mountain in the distance. Feel the ground beneath your feet and remember tectonic forces at work. Taste the food and think about soils and climate that produce it. Because every place has a story written, its geography, and Mexico's story is one of the most dramatic on earth. Thank you for joining me on this expedition. If you enjoy these episodes, please share it with friends who love geography or with who just love Mexico. Leave a review, send a message, let me know where you like to travel next. Well, in a single one, I'm grateful for your company on this journey. Until next time, this is your host signing off. keep exploring, keep wondering, and remember, the world is bigger than you know. There's always more to discover. Thanks for listening. More to come, people. See you soon.